The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. So, I thought I'd talk a little bit about endings and beginnings since it's New Year's Day. A few days ago we did a funeral for somebody who had died within the last week or so. And I was thinking, you know, when you do a funeral or somebody dies, we see their life ending when you think of that's the end of it sort of thing. But for them, actually, it's just the beginning of something else. And we tend not to see that and not to think of that. And when you do the funeral ceremony, there's these beautiful verses that talk about the person now going on, continuing their training, on their way to nirvana, working in the waveless sea of the bodhisattvas. I think, wow, lovely. But for us, you know, we see the end, and we don't see the new beginning. And it's often like this in life. Something ends, and we don't yet see the new thing that may be taking its place. Forest fire, you know, trees die so that something new can spring up. Some seeds won't sprout until they're opened by fire. Sometimes something seemingly dreadful opens the way for something new. At this time of year, we tend to look back over the year and see the changes we've had. You know, some of them may be welcome and some of them may be not so welcome. But here they are nevertheless. And can we embrace them all, the welcome and the unwelcome, wholeheartedly? Sometimes it's hard to accept change. Things are gone. Sometimes we cling to the past. We look back and long for something that's gone. This is suffering, you know, clinging onto old situations, old relationships, old habits, old states of mind, or holding on to just something we've had before. Youth, health, you know. Sometimes we worry a lot. We dread the future. You know, I'm getting older, or I'm getting sick, or I've lost, you know, somebody I love. Insecurity, what's going to happen to me? All these things we can worry about. You know? Things are never quite the way we think they're going to be. And this works for good as well as ill. Actually, sometimes we expect something that we want to happen. It never works out quite the way we'd hoped, even if we get it, or even if it does come. It's different, you know, things are different from what we sort of foresee. Sometimes it works out a whole lot better than we'd hoped. Sometimes we're expecting something dreadful and it doesn't happen. Sometimes it does happen, and it's never quite the way we expected to be. We do actually manage. There it is, the unwanted, the dreaded, and here it is, and actually we deal with it. It's not beyond our means, actually, because we find help. Things happen, people help us, the situation helps us, we help ourselves. And the awful thing we had imagined, we deal with. One of our monks recently said he'd made a list of all his fears, and he realized that they'd all come true. And he'd survive them all. So why worry? You know? That's kind of nice. And when the things do happen that we had kind of dreaded, we usually learn something if we're open to it. So when we find ourselves confronted with change or with loss, if we can look it right in the eye and say, okay, it's different now. This is how it is. Now things have changed, let's just accept it and get used to it. You know, if we can just do that with ourselves, there's a kind of a lightening of the heart. We're not kind of grabbing onto, I don't like this, I don't want this, I want things to be the way they were. They're not going to go back. But if we can just say, okay, this is different. You know, the body is different. My situation is different. My relationships are different. One may have gone, another one may come in its place. other things may happen. I might have lost my job. Maybe I'll get a better one. Maybe I won't, you know, maybe I won't work at all. Maybe things will be better than, maybe things will be better than I expected. If you can kind of relinquish that grip onto the past, what we had, and trying to keep it, it really helps. Even when things are hard, if we can open ourselves up, okay, this is what I have now. How do I deal with this? How do I accept this? Make the best of it, and not just make the best of it, but make the most of it. Use it to help myself and other beings. It really, really helps. Letting go, once again, letting go, a wonderful thing. Kindness and patience, and letting go of things that have changed. We're not getting rid of something. We're just relinquishing the grip on old things, letting old things go, letting new things come in, just letting it all come through. Everything comes and everything goes, one way or another. It all just passes through. We might as well stop trying to cling on to one little bit of it, because it's not going to work. It's Maitreya festival day. Here he is, that beautiful statue which you keep in the founder's shrine. It weighs a ton and a half. And if you can move it, we do, to bring it out so you can see it. Sometimes it's all our strong people are gone and we don't move it. But when we can and we do, there it is. Hope nobody dies in the process. But it's so beautiful, just lovely to see the statue of Maitreya sitting there reflecting. He's perfecting his virtues. This is not a sort of self-absorption, selfish kind of a thing. Because he's the incoming future Buddha, and he represents benevolence. He's not just selfishly making himself perfect, but he still needs to work on himself. He's a bodhisattva, and he's still working on himself. This is a clue. No matter how far we go in our training, we still work on ourselves. We can't perfect somebody else's virtues, make them better. We can only perfect our own. We can only work on ourselves, do our best with what we have to let things come and go, to practice kindness. Even great bodhisattvas are still working on their training, so we don't have to feel badly that we may not be perfect yet. There's a lovely story about Ryokan, the monk who was a poet and legendary for being completely sort of a hermit and not of a practical nature at all. But before he became a monk, as a layperson, he was in the temple and he was sweeping leaves near a statue of a bodhisattva. And I have a feeling it might have been Maitreya, but I don't know. And some young monks came by with their teacher. And they were discussing, what's the bodhisattva looking at? And somebody said, well, he's looking at the trees. Oh, he's looking at something. And Ryokan couldn't contain himself, and he leant on his rake and he said, the bodhisattva is looking into his own mind. And the young monks went, whoa. And the old master said, good for you. This guy knows his stuff, you know. The bodhisattva looking into his own mind. This was his training. This is our training, looking into our own mind, seeing where we create suffering for ourselves and other beings. Lovely. Seeing our clinging, our greed, anger, and ignorance, relinquishing, not clinging onto them, doing our best to let them go. And as I said, this is not selfish, you know, self-absorption. We perfect our virtues in the context of our relationships with other beings. You can't practice loving kindness all by yourself with nobody else around. Sometimes it's good to have some time and learn, but then we have to come back, deal with other people. You come here on retreat, you still got other people, here we all are, and sometimes we annoy each other, and then you go back to your own, you know, life, your work, your family, or the relationships you have, and put the teaching into practice within those very relationships. It's not in a vacuum. You can't be kind in a vacuum. It makes no sense. All our training, essentially, is in relationship to other beings, whether human or animal or whatever. The most important aspects, the kindness we practice with other beings. It's fine being in samadhi, you know. I I'm not a samadhi type myself, but somebody who's, you know, you still have to be able to be kind. You still have to be able to deal with other beings. You still have to be able to accept beings as they are, situations as they come our way, ourselves as we fall short of our own expectations and do something dumb. To accept that and train with it, that's where we see whether the training is really working, because it all takes place in the context of relationship, one way and another, with the world, with nature, with beings, with work, all the thousandfold things. Maitreya, the personification of loving kindness. Buddhism is kindness. I'm always going on about this, but I think it's so important, and it's something we can practice. Helping beings, helping ourselves. Not looking for beings to help. Let's go out and do good and do something, you know. But just helping beings as it comes our way. Helping ourselves. Helping with suffering. There's this lovely litany we sang both last night and today. And it talks about these disciples of the Buddha, these great beings who are deeply wise, you know, vast, benevolent hearts, a mind and heart free of attachments, penetrating all the gates to the Dharma, all these, you know, things we sort of think, whoa, it's way beyond me. And helping beings in enormous ways, staying for endless eons with a single being to help them. Well, how many of us could think we could do that, you know? And yet it points us to something. It points us towards working on our own training, looking into our own mind, seeing our own weaknesses, attachments, and helping beings, including ourselves. It all works together. Wisdom and compassion. Wisdom and compassion always work together. You cannot have one without the other. Because the ability to help beings comes out of wisdom, knowing how to help. And the compassion naturally arises from wisdom. And wisdom arises from compassion. The four wisdoms. They're not called wisdoms for nothing. Charity, tenderness, benevolence, and sympathy. They're all ways of helping beings. And they are wisdoms. Which is greatly cheering, because we can practice charity, tenderness, benevolence, and sympathy. We don't have to be supremely enlightened before we can do anything. We can do it right now. We can practice kindness right now. Very helpful. Even though we may feel we're not like these great, you know, enlightened beings, we have our own training to do. We have our own wisdom and our own compassion. We just do the best we can with what we have and trust that that makes a difference. The benefits of our training, even just a moment of kindness, extends far beyond what we may know. These two little statues, these little white statues, I couldn't resist bringing them last night and putting them on the altar. Because that's the other side of Maitreya. It's the representation of the laughing Buddha. Benevolence, joy, faith. This one is my favorite. I keep that by my bed. It looks just like Reverend Master Jiyu. And when I've had a bad day, when things haven't gone well, you know, or I've made some really dumb mistake, or I'm worried about something, I look at that little statue and I think, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe things are not as bad as I think. There is something beyond my little mind, my little mistakes, my foolishness, my me, and my little clouds that says, actually, it's okay. It's okay. You just do your best. Sometimes you have a bad day, and this is life. Sometimes things are okay, sometimes they turn out dreadful, and we just let them come and go and just keep on picking ourselves up and going on. Really helpful. So when I take him home, back he goes by my bed, and I will, you know, it's just really nice to have a little reminder. It's all right. There is faith and there is joy, and relying on something bigger than what we see, something much greater than my little mind and my little life and my little problems, something much deeper that we can rely on. Very, very nice. Faith and joy in the Dharma, that's what he seems to show. Because Maitreya is the incoming future Buddha. facing the future, the joy of training, excuse me, as I said, goes beyond our little mundane concerns. It's much deeper than those little ups and downs of life. And that is what he represents, this solid being, very solid, just great, and just sitting there immovable and yet joyful, you know, still bright. And it's not a foolish, oh, everything's fine, really, you know. It's a faith that goes deeper than the appearance. It's said that Maitreya will come when the teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha has died out. And some, as they say, it's going to be, you know, 5.5 billion years from now. Well, that's a long time to wait. And it's also said, you know, this is the Dharma ending age. Well, it's been the Dharma ending age since about 500, you know, years after the Buddha. So it's always, they always think it's the Dharma ending age. So maybe it's always been kind of like this. You know, the world seems really dark. Things seem, can seem really bad. Maybe it's always been this way to a large extent. Sometimes it seems to get a bit worse. Then it writes itself. And still we keep doing our best. There's always trouble. People kill each other and persecute each other in the name of religion or oppression or greed or whatever, fear. And I think it's always kind of like that to one extent or another. There's always a reason to despair, it would seem, and things are just getting worse and worse. Maitreya is the promise of the future, you know, the hope in the darkness. Even when things seem really dark, all is not lost. There's the promise. Things will get better. And this promise isn't just about the future. Some way in the future it'll get a bit better, maybe 5.5 billion years from now. Well, no, it's now, even now, things are better than we think often, because we don't see the just innate goodness of people, their kindness. We see it all the time, but we don't read about it on the news, you know. To have faith in that, in the kindness of beings, have faith in our own training, loving kindness, kindness to ourselves, kindness to other beings. We can practice this, we can do this, and we can do it now. We don't have to wait for Maitreya to come, because it's already, you know, Maitreya is us too. We are Maitreya Buddhas. Rav Masiji wrote those two beautiful invocations about Maitreya. She loved Maitreya, and she was born on Maitreya Day. And just, you know, we can be as he wants, was we are, as we are now. We will be as he. We are Maitreya Buddha. We have that potential to be, to realize our own Buddhahood. It's not somebody else 5.5 billion years away. It's us now. Today, we ourselves can practice loving kindness, practice joy and faith, and have faith in the Dharma, faith in our own training, faith in other beings. Looking into our own mind, you know, perfecting the virtues, looking into our own mind, seeing our own attachments, our clinging, our greed, hatred, grasping, wanting this, not wanting that, I really don't want that. Seeing all that, seeing our potential for doing a lot of harm. It's not just, you know, somebody somewhere else who can do harm. We ourselves could do great harm, and we can also do great good by relinquishing our hatred and fear and all that. We all have that, one way or another. Just see it, even as its little seeds of irritation and dislike, you know. Ah, look what I'm doing. Just relinquish. It's not covering something up. It's letting something go. It's different. And letting something go doesn't mean it disappears immediately. Sometimes it just keeps coming back, or we think it's never going to depart. But things do change. We do change. And, you know, letting go of the old, bringing in the new, is a hopeful thing. There's goodness that we can manifest, that we do manifest. Looking within at our own mind, and looking without at how we can help somebody. Not, as I said, looking for people to help, but just helping beings as it comes our way, noticing when somebody needs help or a kind word or just a little of our time, noticing and just giving that without making a big deal out of it, without thinking, here I am, being Maitreya, you know. Just practicing kindness in a normal way, just being normal and being a halfway decent human being. As Rupa Master Dyersby said, he said, if I can be remembered as a halfway decent human being, I'll be happy. Well, I like to be remembered at least a quarter way decent human being. You know, it doesn't sound like much, but actually to be remembered as a halfway decent human being is actually pretty good. You're not trying to be God, you're not trying to be a saint. Just to be a halfway decent human being. Good enough. Wisdom and compassion. Looking within at our own mind. Looking out and helping beings. Including ourselves. It's not just for everybody else, it's for us too. It's interesting, I was looking at my emails this morning briefly, and there's this greeting from the Zen community of Oregon. Reverend Hogan and Chosen Bays, they send this thing out. And they have this little message, this little New Year message to all their people. And one part of it is, please have deep faith in the value of your own life and practice. I thought it was interesting, they said exactly the same thing that I was planning to say. Please have deep faith in the value of your own life and practice. I think that's a really beautiful and helpful message at the beginning of the year for all of us, actually. Have deep faith in the value of your own life and your practice, both. Your own life, your relationships, the way you live in the world, the situations you're in, both here and when you go home, and your practice, the training that you bring to all these things. We are all connected, we're all related to each other. We do our best to practice kindness, to practice peace and contentment, and joy. You know, we don't have to go manufacturing joy. Joy is something that arises spontaneously within us. And there's a joy we don't even feel. That peace that knows we're doing the best we can. Even when we mess up, we're still trying to do the best we can to train ourselves as deeply and faithfully and sincerely as we can. And as we practice this, the benefits extend far beyond what we may know because we're all connected. And we just keep on practicing that. Practicing faith and kindness and stillness and all the precepts and all the things we do. And this is Maitreya's message to us today. Faith and hope. Trust in the future. Faith in the value of our own life and practice as we keep doing it this coming year. So, thank you.